Vuol dire che no.
All right, today before we get into the podcast, I want to announce the winners of the 100th episode contest, and we're giving away the crossbow pistol, the survival knife, a couple of little grab bags, a bug out bag first aid kit, and the SAS survival guide?
Yeah, yes, that's what it is. That is what it is. That's an awesome guide, by the way.
So what we did is we're recording this Wednesday night before the podcast. So what we're going to do is I've already emailed the people that have won, the people that I have their emails. There are a couple of people that won on Facebook, and I've left you a message or replied to your comment on the Facebook on the survivalistprepper.net/100, the contest page where you left that comment. I have left a reply on your Facebook comment, so all I need is your email address and we'll get everything figured out. If I don't get a response from anybody, the first person that won, the first person that we call their name out, they get to choose their prize, and then we'll move down the list to the second person, to the third person, to the fourth person. If for some reason the first person or the second person don't respond within a couple days, then we'll go to the next person down the list, and then we'll pick somebody else. But I've contacted everybody, so we'll see how all of that goes. And in the next few days or so, we should have everything figured out. But along with the prizes, before I announce the names, Lisa has also got, your books are free today, right?
Yes, they're free on Amazon, the Kindle version.
The Prepping A to Z books.
Prepping A to Z, and that would be book A, book B, book C, and book D now.
Very cool, and those are free for everybody today. And also what we're doing at the Academy, we're having a half price special for the next 2 days, and you can take advantage of that by using the link survivalistprepper.net/half, or just go to the show notes for this episode and get that. But the half price special is for the yearly and the lifetime memberships, and the yearly membership is $27 and the lifetime is $77, which is a really good deal. And we have monthly contests and giveaways and stuff like that, so take advantage of that while you can. But let's go ahead and get into the five winners, and then let's get into the podcast.
Are you going to start with the littlest prize and work your way up?
I'm going to start with the first winner that gets to pick whatever they want.
Okay.
And then the second winner that gets to pick whatever they want from whatever's left. And then
okay. The third.
So the first winner, and I'm only going to say the first two initials of their last name. So if it's two people with like Brian HR or something, then, you know, hopefully there's not. But you just got to make sure I sent you the email. But the first winner is Frank A.D. And what Frank will get to pick whatever he wants. And then the next winner who can pick from the remaining is Eric F.I. And these two I have already emailed. Actually, these first three. The third one is Teresa T.A. And the three of you I've emailed. I don't know. I believe everybody listens to the podcast out of those three. The fourth is Eston B.U. The fifth winner is John S, and that's John, middle initial S, last initial H. And then the final winner is Brent FR. And the last two winners are Facebook winners. So go to where you left the comment on survivalistprepper.net/100. And I've replied to you. What I need is your email address. And you can either you can do that or just send me an email to dale@survivalistprepper.net and say, hey, I think it was me that won. Hopefully, I know there's only one John S. And Brent FR, I think there's only one also. So send me an email and
congratulations.
We'll see.
That's way cool.
But that's it. Congratulations, everybody. I appreciate it. I love doing stuff like this. Hopefully, we can get another one going here pretty soon. So
you should do it on the 200th episode.
That's a long ways to wait. I can't wait that long.
Okay.
But I appreciate everybody. Let's go ahead and get into the show now.
Please hold for a very important message.
Okay, before we get into the show this week, I've got a couple of listener questions that we were supposed to get to last week, and we spaced it out because we got so much going on. But Gary had a question about prescription medications that I want to ask you because you know more about this than I would. But basically, his question here is about doctor's prescriptions. I'm not currently needing or taking any medications, but my thoughts are, which medications are common and critical other than antibiotics that a doctor would allow you to shelf? And maybe this is a doctor that you know pretty well, not just your typical doctor. And this is completely for post-collapse stuff too. But he says here, I'm thinking there's something for diabetes, heart conditions, antipsychotics, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think it just depends. If you have a good relationship with your doctor, if you have prescription medications, say blood pressure medication, diabetes medication, anything like that, they'll say it's okay, and they'll, you know, just say, hey, I'm not going to get out, or I'd like to stockpile a little bit of medication because I just want to. And a lot of doctors, if you have a good relationship with them, they will give you, I wouldn't get more than a year's supply, because that's what the, you know, and because I'm not getting into how
expirations
yeah, because typically once it's been dispensed, it's got about a year shelf life. It could be longer than that, but again, I'm not going over that because I have no idea. I haven't taken expired like blood pressure medication or anything.
But something, and he states here too that he's not wanting to run a Teotihuacan pharmacy or anything, but this would be good. Maybe some bartering stuff. I mean, people are going to need this, and this is going to be that high demand kind of stuff.
Yeah, but unless you're a doctor, I don't know. I mean,
it's your ability to get a hold of it, basically. Yeah,
but I wouldn't want to mess around with that, because you have, so let's say blood pressure medication, for example. You can have something like metoprolol or lisinopril. They come in different strengths, and, you know, if you're going to be giving it to yourself, I think that's one thing, but you know, selling it for other people, I think you're setting yourself up for a problem, even in a SHTF situation, unless you're a doctor or a pharmacist. But
I don't think I'd be giving it to my neighbors either, because then they'd be coming back like junkies, want more of the antipsychotics. If I live next to a neighbor that needs an antipsychotic, move.
But then when you're talking medications like that, like antipsychotic medications or narcotic medications, doctors are not going to give you a prescription for like a year of, let's say, Vicodin or Percocet. They just aren't. And I guess you're going to have to look into alternatives for like narcotic medications or even anxiety medications and stuff, because they are very addictive. So I think you're going to be hard pressed to find someone that's going to give you a prescription for Xanax or Valium, something like that. But normal everyday medications that don't have addictive qualities, but you need to live, like Glucophage or Metformin or Lisinopril, Metoprolol, things like that that you have to take for chronic disease processes like high blood pressure or diabetes, I think they're going to give it to you. Things you do have to consider, especially with insulin, is how long is insulin viable in the vials, because that's injectable.
And how it's stored.
Those are things that you might want to, you know, learn about now, so that in a SHTF situation, you are going to have enough of what you need. And I know a lot of the insulin now comes from pigs. So there's got to be some way you can make insulin from pigs. I don't know how to do it, but...
Yeah, if you could figure that out, though, that would probably be...
That might be interesting.
You would be a Teotihuacan pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, and then Jennifer had a question, and she just basically wants to know what our thoughts on this Jade Helm thing are. And this could turn into a whole podcast, but our opinions differ a little bit. You're more on the Alex Jones end of it.
Yeah, I'm on the tinfoil hat all the way.
And I'm more on the... You know, I think we should be concerned about it, but I don't think it's an exercise. I don't think martial law is coming. But what I'm concerned about is if they are, like you were talking about the other day, when we went to Vietnam, we trained in areas like that were like Vietnam. We went to Desert Storm, we trained in areas like Desert Storm. My concern is, why are they training here?
Yeah.
And even if it's for nothing right now, they are going to be taking notes, and they are going to be learning stuff, and they are going to be, you know, in the future, this might be a great learning tool for them. That's what concerns me. That all the conspiracy theories, it really does no service to this because it makes it seem so crazy, overboard, outrageous that people just don't even give it a second thought. And well, I think that's dangerous as well.
I think so too. And I think that's what the mass media propaganda generating, you know, corporate America TV stations, that's what they want. They want people to think that people like me that think, hey, we should be paying attention to this whole Jade Helm exercise, that we're crazy and we're way off there on the deep end, and they're poo-pooing, you know, our thoughts on it, because then everybody thinks that we're crazy or I'm crazy.
Yeah, it's just a military exercise.
Yeah, it's just a military exercise.
It very well could be, but it's not. That could be their reason right now, but it's not, I guarantee you. They're taking everything they can out of this and learning whatever they can.
Well,
and they're
going
to use it in the future if it ever comes to that.
I don't understand why you have to train troops on American soil unless you're planning on using those troops against Americans. Because it's like what you said and what we talked about the other day. When you're training for an event that's going to take place because you want to be familiar with the area you're going to be sending your troops, whether it's, you know, our troops, which I would hope that wouldn't happen, or UN troops or whatever, that they're going to send them to the area where, okay, so let's see what the subway system looks like, or let's see how these people react to these Black Hawk helicopters flying over. And we just get numb to it and we just accept it, but we shouldn't be. We should be paying attention. And they train for where they're going to be, you know, having an incident.
A little town in Texas is about the opposite of somewhere out in the Middle East or somewhere like that.
Right. Well, and where is that? And Alex Jones talked about this. The training center, I can't think of where it is, where it's set up like, you know, rural America. It's a small town. It has churches. Oh, it has a mosque too. So they're training for Iraq or...
Well, they call it a mosque, but it looks like a church.
Yeah, but it looks like a church. And they're, all of the signs are in English and everything is in English. It's like you're training for something here. You're not training for something abroad.
But I see that, and I see these videos of these trains going across with all these military vehicles on them, and just saw this running through my town. They got to get there somehow. You know, it's, you got to move these big machines. So that's going to happen. I mean, we are one of the biggest militaries in the world. That's going to happen. And we need that to happen. We need to be protected. We need to be this military. But it doesn't mean that anytime something like this happens, everybody's got to jump on it and say, oh, this conspiracy, that conspiracy. It's, to me, it's not that way. Now, there is some stuff that still makes me wonder about this stuff, but you just got to really think about, to me anyway, you've got to really think about the source, basically, who's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Jones makes his living off of being that alarmist. So I'd rather be an alarmist. Yeah, you've got to rather be safe than sorry. But when I listen to him, it's with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
he's interesting, to say the least.
But he makes you think about things.
Yeah,
regardless if he's right or wrong.
That's what he does. He makes you think about things, and then all of a sudden he goes way overboard and just off the deep end. And right. I'm like, oh my God, here we go again.
I love Alex Jones. He's cool.
But
the InfoWars.
Like I said, maybe we'll do a whole podcast on stuff like this, but I want to get into the show this week. You got one
more thing to add? Yeah, I just think with the whole, when does Jade Helm operation kick in? Like July 1st or something?
Yeah, somewhere around the
beginning of July. Through September 15th. I think it's going to be really interesting, and we should all be paying attention and just, you know, be aware of what's going on around you. And we'll see where we're at September, the end of September, you know, after all of this is completed.
And what happens and all that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like military, you know, martial law. I hope not. But I do think they're planning for something bigger. And I think we're wise to be aware of the situation.
Notes.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens, they're taking notes.
Okay. So. I agree with you.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into the podcast then. Okay, today Lisa and I are going to talk about some financial stuff in a post-collapse situation, or maybe even just a depression type thing, right?
But don't you want to start off and say, oh my gosh, it's our 100th episode?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's our 100th episode.
Episode.
And on that, yeah, I guess congratulations to everybody who did win. And it's really cool. The day that our last podcast went out, it's really cool the response we got. We got about 250 entries, so that was pretty neat. And that's why we do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. Yeah. But also very cool and a huge deal, I think, is that this is our 100th episode.
Yeah, that we made it this far. That's pretty cool. I remember I've been talking to people in the Facebook group 2 years ago. You know, I'm trying to get people into the group and basically giving away Academy memberships and just trying to get people to come in. And a lot of the people are from that first 50 are still there. Maybe not a lot. There's probably about 10 or 15 that are active and still there. So that's pretty neat, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. You guys rock.
And some of them we become pretty, as close as you can be with Facebook.
Yeah.
But there's a few people on there that I'd actually go visit that I wouldn't mind go seeing. So,
well,
and that's the newer people and the older people.
And what's really cool is like Mary Lee.
Yeah.
Totally shouting your name out, Mary Lee. But
I don't think she listens. But.
She actually, I mean, she's met up with a couple of people.
Yeah. And the way she got into the group was kind of funny too, because she was basically yelling at me about, I don't get all this bug out stuff, I don't understand it. And I was like, hey, you know what, join the group. And she's, you know, she's a name everybody knows in there.
Yeah.
And she's opinionated
and she's
that's just
funny.
Mary.
Yeah. Go Mary Lee.
And she's nice too. I mean, she's a cool person. So, but anyway, yeah, it's that's all of that is why we do it. And I love giving this stuff away and all that, but it's the people, it's the interaction, it's the helping people, it's the people helping us, it's the whole thing. I just, you know, people have this idea of what preppers are, and we're all nut jobs and extremists and all that, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. And if people actually take the time to listen to it, listen to the right people, it's a pretty cool set of people.
It's like you have your own university of being prepared and self-reliant. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's not all one podcast or one website or this or that. It's, you know,
it's all over the place.
It's a lifestyle, like we always say. Yeah, and you learn what you can when you can and go from there.
Yep. Yay, congratulations, 100 episodes. Woo-hoo. Sorry.
All right, now let's get into the financial stuff, and we're going to talk about gold and silver, even maybe some bartering stuff. What types of things that we can use in, even if it's just a depression or hyperinflation or even just inflation, stuff that will help us in our future, regardless whether something happens or something doesn't.
Right.
So let's go into the gold and silver stuff first. And you're going to have to lead me through this because you've got all the notes, and I'll just kind of follow your lead, basically. So what do you have to start off with?
Well, I think more of calling it precious metals instead of gold and silver, because it would be really cool if we could, you know, hoard gold, but for us that's just not really feasible because
financially.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to invest in something that, you know, you're not really sure of, and sure it will hold its value, but what happens if something happens and it doesn't, and you spent $1,500 on an ounce of gold and now it's worth $700?
You know? But over time
it's
always going to go up,
right?
But yeah, when you need it, it's the value it holds when you need it.
That's right. So for like us, I like to think of silver as the poor man's gold.
Well, and also with gold, if you've got a gold bar or whatever, or a few ounces, how are you going to divide that up? You're going to have to melt it into smaller pieces, because you can't buy small items with gold. You can't just take a chip off. I mean, just the tiniest little chip of gold has got more value than, you know, your weekly grocery list or whatever.
Right. So
silver is a lot easier that way, yeah.
Well, and I think silver is easier because it's easier for people to obtain. I don't think it's going to, unless you go out and buy, you know, hundreds of ounces at one time, you can kind of stay off the radar by just buying a little bit here and there. Versus if you started stockpiling gold, I bet you're going to be on a lot more, lists than you would if you just bought silver.
Yeah, because the bankers, they don't, and these quote-unquote financial advisors, they don't want you to take the money out of the banks. That's how this false economy kind of runs.
Right.
Is by us fueling that system with putting our money in the banks. And, you know, we all like to think that that's our money and everything, but once it goes into the bank, it's really not.
No.
I mean, there's a very small portion of it that is, and I'm not, there's other websites and other people that are really into this that know a lot more about this. This is going to be kind of just the general stuff, but I don't know the percentages and all that crap. This is just kind of the common sense part of it without going too overboard. But the financial advisors, like when I was working, I had my 401k and this and that, and they'd tell me where to invest and what to do with this, and it just scared me because, yeah, there's some low yield stuff that is really safe. There's some high yield stuff that's really volatile. But to me, if everything goes to crap, it's all volatile. It's all going down the drain.
It's all gone.
Yeah. And I ended up taking my money out of there. I took the hit because I took it out early.
Your taxes hit.
Yeah. But I figured, you know what? I'm going to invest this into something else. If you invest in gold and silver, that stuff at least is going to, over a long period of time, it's going to gain value.
Right. And the thing that I like about investing in silver is it doesn't take that much to get, especially like right now, while we're doing this podcast, I looked and the silver value is like, I think it's like $17.50 an ounce or something. So it's not very expensive. And if you save $20 a week and bought, you know, 1 ounce of silver, in a month, you'd have 5 ounces. So that might be, what, $88 or so now, but 10, 20 years from now, and just kind of watch the market and what silver's doing, you could double your money.
Yeah.
If nothing happens. But if something does happen and there's this huge economy collapse or whatever, and they, let's say they get rid of the dollar as the what is it, the currency standard?
The fiat
or whatever.
Currency, yeah. The world standard.
The world is that currency. What it's called? I don't know what it's called.
No, it's the gold standard, I think you're thinking of, which we don't have anymore.
Well, I'm thinking of gold standard. Yeah, and that's what it was at one time. But the reserve currency is the dollar. That's what I'm trying to say. But if that were to go to crap, and, you know, who knows what silver could be worth then. So it's and I think it's safer to invest in something like precious metals, gold, silver, even bartering items, than it is to just stick your money in the bank, because you never know when they might decide to do a bank holiday and then a bank bail, and then all of the money that you've saved is gone.
Yeah, it's literally poof.
Yeah.
Gone. Sorry, we can't cover the losses, your host.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. So maybe, and what I like to do is, you know, we buy a little bit of silver here and there, and then we just stick it away. Because it's a lot harder to, let's say we wanted to make some purchase that was, you know, tons of money and we didn't have it, but we know we have the silver. Well, you have to then take that silver, go to a silver dealer or somewhere and trade that in and get the cash for it. It's a lot harder to do that, and there's a lot more steps involved than, say, just pull out your credit card.
Yeah, pull out a $20 bill and go spend it.
Yeah, well, even the pulling out the $20 bill is hard, but it inevitably, that's not going to have the value. It's not going to hold its value. So even if gold or silver or whatever goes down a little bit in value, it usually stays pretty consistent.
Well, I remember when my grandma passed and she had a bunch of coins, and the family, unfortunately, basically was fighting over it, over her coin collection, because of the value. And that's something that over probably 30 years or so, she collected that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, yeah, it doesn't seem like that much. Maybe if you spend 20, 30, whatever you can afford, $60 a month, and buy that over time, you know, over the course of 10, 20 years, that's a lot of money. And it's always increasing. Now, granted, sometimes gold increases more, I think, but it costs more. And it just really depends on what you have. You'll have to go into junk silver and all of that, what the different options are as far as silver, but it doesn't have to be the silver bars or anything.
Right.
And then in a little bit, we'll go into where you can kind of get this stuff and some of those things. But kind of explain what a lot of people do, what we do as far as junk silver and how to kind of get that silver.
Well, it's kind of fun. You can make a game of it, and you can go to, I mean, even when you go to the like the car wash, and let's say you put in a $10 bill or a coin exchanger, you put in a $10 bill and get, you know, $10 worth of quarters. Any of the quarters that were made before 1964, they have, they're 90% silver. So that's what's considered junk silver. It's silver that's actually in the coin. It's not that it's not any good, but, and that doesn't cost you anything. I think more and more people are getting, catching on to that, but.
Yeah, and they feel, you can tell, you just got to pay attention to them, but they feel, basically, they feel fake because they're not as heavy as the newer, I don't know what they use, copper or whatever, but they feel lighter. And
yeah.
And you can tell. It's like, wow, hey, this is... And what is... Say you find a quarter that's junk silver. What is that worth?
Oh, yeah. Put me on the spot. I have no idea.
$2 or $3.
I think so.
It's not a lot, but it's...
But it's still... It's more worth, than a quarter. Worth more than a quarter. And if you just went and put a $10 bill in, say you got, you know, three quarters that were pre-1964, that's pretty much all silver. So you just... I mean, $6 for 75 cents. So yeah. Those are things you can stick away.
I always check my change. I don't get much anymore because we always use cards and all of that. But anytime I get change, I'll look at it. Because I found them when I used to at work. I'd go through change. I wouldn't go through all of it, but I'd go through change and just check stuff. People just don't know.
Yeah, they don't know what they have. And if you go like to smaller banks or like where we live in the middle of nowhere, people might go and use their pre-1964 quarters, not realizing what they have.
And, or the kids might steal grandma and grandpa's coin collection and just blow it.
So then you just, you know, save it and just have like put it in your safe or whatever. But anything pre-1964, that's silver. So that actually is worth its weight in silver.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, not a lot. It's not going to, you know, not going to make you wealthy or anything. But each little bit adds up, kind of like food storage and all that. Each mm-hmm. little bit adds up.
Mm-hmm.
And even the skills we have, you know, as we learn these, we get better and better. And then you look back, like we're on our 100th episode. We look back and think, well, when we started, we had no idea. But now look, you know, now it's this thing we do. We record once a week. It's just what we do. It's part of our routine. And eventually you get to the point, and we're much better at or much more prepared than we were when we started this because we talk about it all the time.
Because you finally started listening to me.
Yeah, basically. But that's the same thing. You collect and it doesn't seem like much here and there, but all of a sudden, maybe 2 years later, you count it and you're like, wow.
Right.
We're actually doing okay.
Yeah.
Now you've got, it's going to take a lot because to get through our daily lives, it can't be a few thousand dollars worth of gold and silver or whatever. It's gonna have to be a lot more than that because it'll go quickly. But having that little bit saved up, that could be that buffer that
right.
you need.
Right. And I think it's a good idea. I mean, you never know what's gonna happen with the dollar. It just seems like it's really volatile and the whole market is volatile right now anyway. But I think it's a good idea to start. If you haven't started, just start, even if it's $20 a week. If you can't afford that, $20 a month. Buy an ounce of silver a month. And just keep adding on to that. I think it's also a good idea, even... I don't agree with putting money in the bank for savings. I think you should have at least 3 months or start working on that, having 3 months of cash supply at your someplace hidden in your home or whatever, wherever you want to put it, to pay your bills, to pay your mortgage, to pay your rent. Because what happens if there is a bank run? What happens if there is a bank holiday? If something like that happens, it might take a month or two, you know, to get things figured out. So you got to be able to pay your mortgage.
But that also goes into don't put all your eggs into one basket. And
right.
That's because that's not saying don't save money in the bank, in your bank. Don't do this or that. It's because if you have all your money, everything you saved, say under your mattress or whatever, somebody knows about that and you get robbed, then you're screwed.
I know if where it's you all keep in the your bank, money, Dale.
If it's all in the bank and the banks go on a bank holiday, you're screwed. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. And this isn't saying don't invest either. If that's what you do, I just, like I said, not all in one basket. Take, if you can't actually touch it and feel it, it's not real.
And right. And that actually makes it easier to spend.
Yeah.
That's why it's so easy to whip out a plastic credit card and say, I'll pay for it next month.
Well, and this is all kind of a longer term scenario. When we're talking short term, you should have cash on hand as well.
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to, say the grid goes down, you're not going to be able to get to the bank and get to your money, but cash is still going to have some value. Now, as it goes on further, if it's a hyperinflation thing, that cash is not going to have much value, and you should probably get what you need as quickly as possible. And that's if you know for certain something is going to happen. There's no, you know, it's not you heard this rumor here or there. This is for certain. The dollar is going to be worth a penny in a month or so, or a week or so. So I better get what I can now while bread is still a few bucks instead of 30, 40 bucks.
Right. But you know what would be cool about that? Is that, let's say that you're well supplied, you've got a year's worth of food, you've got some money in the bank, you've got silver, you've got cash on hand, and then everything goes to crap as far as the economy and the dollar is worthless and people are spending tons and tons and tons of money on just normal everyday things. Well, hopefully, maybe you might have some stuff to barter, and then you could actually end up, you know, paying, hopefully you don't have a lot of debt, but like if you have a mortgage and stuff, and if the dollar has gone to crap and a dollar, you know, it takes $1,000 to what a dollar bill was, then you could pay your house off really quick.
Yeah, you were mentioning, you were reading a website where the guy was talking about that when people did that in Argentina or wherever.
I think they did it in Argentina, but he actually had a post of, it was from, I think during World War II, people in Germany. And what they were spending, the money that they were bringing in, how they were spending it on, like, their mortgage versus their, what they would spend on food. And I can't remember what, the utilities was the other one. And it started off, like, their mortgage would be, like, 60% of their income. Then by the end of this time frame, it was, like, 0.92% of their income. So most people were able to pay off their houses.
Yeah, if you get that hyperinflation and you have that food stored, you don't have to spend your money on the food and all the other stuff. If you do what we talk about all the time and get really set up for that, you can take the money where, you know, a dollar was worth a dollar when you got your mortgage. Say a dollar's worth $10 now. You pay off, and if it's a fixed rate, they can't do anything about that.
Nope.
But you have to be in the position to be able to take advantage of that.
Right.
And it's not going to work for everybody. Some people are just not going to be able to pay it.
No.
So, but if you put yourself in a position, it's kind of neat. You can actually take advantage of that.
That bad situation.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's going to be like that. You've really got to work to put yourself in a situation like that.
So it's pretty interesting. Yeah, so make sure you have lots of food storage now, so you're not spending $20 or $30 on a loaf of bread. Hopefully you have the flour and every yeast and stuff at home that you can make your own bread.
Yeah. Do you have the link to that website?
Well, I do, and I gave it to you. You should put it in the show notes because I emailed it to you because I was like, this guy is really cool. You got to look at this.
I will do that. You don't remember the name right now offhand, do you?
The name of the website is lenpenzo.com blog. And it's
LENPENZO.
Yes.
.com.
And he was really cool. And actually, the one that I was looking at for this was how much gold and silver should people own? I mean, he has tons and tons of different blog postings, not only on, you know, post collapse stuff, but just general financial advice. And it was pretty cool, especially if you're, I mean, like us, and we're not huge money gurus or anything. But it's nice to get different perspectives from like an investing standpoint. Basically, he said that
you get people that aren't talking about tens of thousands of dollars.
Because right. And they're giving you alternatives. They're not saying it's only this way. You can only do it this way. But it's basically saving money, like so saving cash and starting to save silver, precious metals. It's an insurance policy. And I mean, this is a country where we're huge on, we have insurance on everything. Uh-huh. So why wouldn't you want to insure your future?
Yeah. And like I said, with my grandmother and a lot of people's grandmothers, especially people that lived through the Depression, if you die and you still have that money, you know, you helped
can't take it with you.
You helped your family out and it doesn't hurt at all. When you get older and you can't work anymore, you're not gonna be able to depend on Social Security and all that crap.
No, that's not going to be around.
That's there as well. I mean, it's just it's an investment in your future, regardless whether anything happens or not. And I think it's a lot safer than the stocks and bonds. You've got to have a place to put all that and make sure it's safe. But, you know, that's, you know, something you have to think about too, with safes and all of that. But that's not what we're talking about today. But I just think it's a really good idea. And even if nothing happens, you've got it going on.
Yeah, because you just bought insurance for your future. Yep. Isn't that a cool saying? You bought insurance for your future.
Ba-da.
Yeah.
All right, what else do you got? Or do you want to go into where you can kind of get this stuff?
I think it's a good idea to go where you can go to get it.
Okay. This is kind of a touchy one, because there's a lot of people out there trying to scam you, and there's a lot of different things that you'll think are gold and silver and all that, but you've really got to know where you're going. You've got to trust who you're getting it from, especially if you're getting it online. Everybody likes to do the online stuff these days, but you've got to be really careful. I would say if you've got a local place that's around you, go to them. That way you can actually look and see what you're going to get. You don't have to depend on getting it in the mail. You know who you're getting it from.
Right. Oh, but you want to hear a cool rumor? A conspiracy theory tinfoil hat time rumor?
Sure.
I heard, and I don't know where I heard it from, I probably read it on some website, that the gold in Fort Knox, it's not really gold, it's tungsten that's been coated in gold, because tungsten weight has the same weight as gold, so that there's no gold in Fort Knox, that it's all tungsten covered.
That is conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It very well, something like that very well could be true, but we'll never know.
Yeah, but if the government can, you know, if they're going to go to such extremes, which I wouldn't put it past them, to make that it seem like there's gold in Fort Knox or whatever, I mean, if they're going to do it, there's going to be people that are going to try to scam too.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to be really careful and go to a reputable.
Well, we were listening to something the other day. I don't know if it was Alex Jones or not, but it was something about how China is stockpiling gold, and as soon as they get to the point where they have enough, they're going to take over the world currency, and we're going to be kind of screwed. And I was listening to that whole show thinking, well, this is all dependent on the fact that we don't have gold in Fort Knox.
Right.
What if we do, though? I mean, I don't really trust the government for anything, but, and I honestly, if I had to pick one way or another, I would say it's not in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would totally say it's not in there. It's like if they're robbing the Social Security, quote, trust fund to pay off interest, do you honestly think that they would have gold in there? And plus, what, Germany? I think it's Germany that we held their gold for at Fort Knox.
Yeah, they went back.
When, you know, different world wars and stuff were happening, and now they want it back, and we're only giving them a certain amount back at a certain time, and it's taking like 18 months or whatever for them to get the gold or some of their gold back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty shady.
Yeah, it is. But I just think that if the people, the powers that be, have to know that if China's doing this, if the little guys like me and you hear all this stuff, they have to know, and they've got to be doing something to rectify the situation. Whether it's shady or not, they don't want to lose their power.
Right.
And they're going to do whatever they can to keep that power. And if, you know, if they know that, hey, these people are collecting gold and we don't have anything, we better figure that out before the bill comes due, basically.
I think they just want to cover their own butts. They don't give a crap about us.
No, they don't. They just want to, it's continuity of government, basically. But who knows what plans they have going on. But anyway, let's get back into where you can get, like you were talking about, there's shady people out there all over the place, and they're going to try to get your stuff. In Jim Cobb's book, The Prepper's Financial Guide, he mentions I'm not going to say the name because it's a weird name, but it's pngdealers.org. And what it is a nonprofit organization consisting of coin and precious metal dealers who adhere to a strict code of ethics. So it's a kind of a cool place you can go that you know that these people that who are selling this stuff are reputable. Was it JM Bullion?
JM Bullion. That's where I get like when I do our little silver buying purchases, that's where I go.
Yeah.
Because they if you buy a certain amount, you get free shipping. And they've always shipped relatively quickly depending on the quantity that you're purchasing. And I don't know. I've had really good luck with them, so I like them.
Yeah, and the fly-by-night guys, you've got to be able to test it out and make sure. And if you purchase something through mail, you're it's a little bit harder, I guess, than if you're going into a place and checking it out.
I would not suggest eBay for buying silver.
Yeah.
Even junk and silver, because you never know.
Yeah, we've done that a couple times, and it's been all right, but it is a crapshoot. Anything you do on eBay or Amazon or any of that stuff, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
you don't know. These people are just people like me and you, maybe, that have silver and we want to sell it. Just because we're honest doesn't mean the next person is.
Right.
And if they've got silver-plated crap, then...
Tungsten.
Yeah, I was also reading in Jim's book that if you can test silver with a little bit of bleach, if you put bleach on silver, it'll turn black. But it'll also do the same thing for silver plated. So,
yeah,
so you got to be careful with that. But that was pretty interesting.
But I think we should go to the car wash once a week and just buy $10 worth of quarters and see how much we can make.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. We'd end up with a lot of quarters.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'd do with it all.
Yeah.
Give it to the girls for gas money.
Yeah.
Here's $10 worth of quarters. Go fill your car.
Yeah.
Fill your car up. Go halfway fill your car up.
Yes.
But I was talking about something and you confused me with your quarter thing.
Sorry.
I was going to say pawn shops and stuff. Those can be a place where you can get silver and gold and stuff, but that's going to be the junk stuff. That's going to be the jewelry and stuff like that. But you've got to make sure if you are doing that it's a good pawn shop. And they're going to try to get top dollar no matter what, because they're in business to sell that. They're going to try to screw the people giving it to them, and then they're going to jack it up as much as they possibly can. But you've got to check out what their return policy is, and don't just buy it and assume that, hey, they gave me this gold. I got this gold ring for a really good price, and it's actually gold plated. Take that to a jeweler. Make sure you know their return policy. Take that to a jeweler. Get it checked out. Make sure it's the real stuff. And if it's not, take it back. A lot of pawn shops, and I'm not talking about these corner pawn shops in the bad neighborhoods and all that will basically are just trying to make a buck and will do anything. I'm talking about the good ones, the ones that you can actually trust. And then, like I said, take it to a jeweler. If they're continually giving you a good product, then continue to work with somebody like that. But there's a lot of different options, but just make sure this isn't an area where you want to kind of think you're going to get this great deal. That's where you'll get hosed.
Yeah, because so. if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. And that
completely, yeah, especially when it comes to precious metals.
Right. That's the gold standard. Ha 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 ha.
So what else do you have?
Well, I just I was looking at some website and they made a really good point that with banks and stuff and financial advisors, a lot of them, they don't want you to invest in silver or precious metals because, like what you said earlier, they want you to put your money in the bank. They don't want you to keep your money at home. So, but when you buy silver,
and they make money off of you when you invest in stocks and bonds and all of that.
Yeah. Right. And to me, that's just scary because one day it's going to be high, one day it's going to be low. And they're going to do everything they can to get you to buy into whatever
makes them the most money.
Right. But when you buy silver, you're protecting and you're saving your wealth, which the banks, they don't want you to do that. So then they will do things like devaluing silver, which suppresses the pricing. Which is good if you're, you know, interested in buying silver now at a lower price, and then it will go up. You just have to watch the market. It may not, you know, it's not something that you're going to invest in over for the short term, where you're going to buy it and then 2 days later turn around and sell it for, you know, double what it's worth.
There's only so many games they can play,
right?
With all of this stuff, and eventually everything's going to even out until they start playing more games, other games. But yeah, there's only so much they can do. There's only so many smoke and mirrors that they can put up before everything corrects itself.
So like right now, it's a good time to buy silver. From what I've seen, it being $17 an ounce or $17.50 an ounce, that's pretty low. So, and I actually wanted to look, and I didn't. I wanted to see what the precious metals, not so much gold, because that's a huge investment, maybe one day, but just to see, like, before financial collapses or recessions and stuff, what the value of silver does. So I know the last time I looked,
I was going to look and see how much silver jumped in during the Depression, and I spaced that out. Maybe I'll do that and put it in the show notes.
I can't remember what it was like in 2007, but I think it was pretty low. And then by 2011, silver, and that was, quote, when we were in this recession or whatever, which I think we still are. We've never recovered from that, which makes it scary because to think every 7 to 8 years, some kind of financial collapse or something happens. So we're getting close. They were saying 2008 was the collapse, the crash of the housing market and stuff, and it put everything to crap. Well, 2016 is right around the corner.
Yeah, so, and this one, like you said, they keep getting harder and harder to come out of.
Right. So, I don't think we ever recovered from the last one. But what I was saying was that I looked in 2011, silver was at like almost $40 an ounce. So if you just kind of do the homework and kind of look back, history has a tendency to repeat itself. And unfortunately, we don't usually learn from our past mistakes. What is that, the definition of insanity?
You're doing the same thing over and over again. And
expecting different results. Yeah. But if you look like historically, you can kind of see a pattern of when silver is at its lowest, which is pretty low now, and then go, 5 or 6 years later, and it's pretty high. So if you kind of play your cards right, you can kind of plan, I know nothing's certain, but you could kind of plan of when you would be selling your silver. Now, let's say that in some huge economic collapse, the dollar crashes, is worth nothing, and then they go back to like a gold standard, so they have gold and silver that's really going to go increase in value. So even if it increased like 30%, 30% return on your investment is pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. Well, cool. Is that everything you've got there?
That's all of my notes. There's a lot more, but I mean, it's really interesting to do a little bit of research. But I really, that website, that Lens, what's his name? Now I gotta go back. Sorry.
We'll cut this part out.
You're gonna cut this part out. And I gotta find it. I sent mail, Dale Goodwin. Cool website. The lenpenzo.com website is really cool, and it just gets my brain motivated and thinking. So I think we're going to do a little bit more research on him.
Cool. Yeah. And I'll leave that link. I'll leave the link to the PNG. I can't remember what that's called
now. PNG.org, the gold and the precious metal dealers.
Yeah, where you can find reputable dealers. I'll leave that in the show notes as well. But again, I appreciate everybody that entered the contest, everybody that left a comment, everybody that listens. It's fantastic how many people responded to that and how many people listen. We really do appreciate it.
You should see the smile on Dale's face when he says, oh my gosh, this many people, said something or left a comment. He just grins ear to ear. So I wish you all could see that.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty funny. Neat.
He gets all excited. He thinks he's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, not so much.
A big deal.
There's lots of people that are bigger deal, but
But it's funny to look at you. You're like a little kid in a candy store. You're like, this is so cool.
I just think it's neat, the community that we've helped create. Everybody else has helped create too, but just how everything's going, I think it's great.
Got a good group of people.
Yep, exactly. Oh,
and I finished my book.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that in the prizes. That's free today.
Yes.
But why don't you kind of give a little bit of detail about what it's about. That's A, B, C, and D that this are finished now,
D.
Right?
D, yes. D is done. D for done. Which the D book covers defense, darkness, debt, dogs, disabilities, diet, and diapers.
Diapers. Diapers. You got my curiosity. What is diapers about?
Diapers is about using diapers in a, post-collapse. If you've got babies, you got kids, and discussing the different uses of diapers, cloth diapers versus disposable diapers, and just stuff like that. That one was just kind of a fun one that I threw in at the very end. And I actually found like 12 different uses for diapers, both disposable and cloth. But if you want to know what it is, you gotta get the book, and it's in the very last section.
And those are all free today too, as well. So
yay!
Like we said in the beginning. But with that, I suppose let's get out of here. I think next week we're going to talk about. Cliff had an idea or asked if we could talk about tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff like that. And that's when he mentioned that, I was like, well, kind of duh, because we live basically in the beginning of Tornado Alley, and we haven't talked about it. So it's something that I think we just kind of take for granted. We do all the time. So
yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and maybe cover some of the natural disasters, like what's going on in Texas right now. That's just crazy with the flooding. And things that you need to do to prepare for disasters that can happen in your area.
Yeah. And Bennett went through Katrina, too. So maybe I'll get him on, because I don't know a lot. We live in Colorado, so we don't get a lot of hurricanes out here.
Nope. We do get flooding, but...
But he's lived through it, so he's probably got some ideas. Maybe we'll get all three of us, and we'll just talk about tornadoes and hurricanes and natural disasters and all that fun stuff. But I got to get a hold of him, and we'll see. Otherwise, it'll just be me and you.
Awesome. That'll be fun.
So that'll do it today. Appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody entering the contest, all that stuff. Until next time, take care and prepare. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye.